Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we come before you wanting and desiring to see what you have done in salvation for us and revealing yourself to us, Lord. And we know that your Son is able to be seen and loved and known today. By your living word and through your Spirit. So, Father, we ask for your Spirit to come and awaken us and stir us to see Jesus through your word. Lord, open our eyes this morning to see our Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I trust many of you enjoyed your Christmas day. I hope that you were able to spend time with family, friends, maybe even some out-of-towners who came in, even despite some of the care that you took in that. I can tell you, I always enjoy our Christmas. It was a little bit different for us this year. TW went to be with the Lord, and we're normally at their house on Christmas Day, so we didn't go there. And Allison's one family member got COVID, and so we had some plans. Those got adjusted a little bit. So anyway, we spent our day at home and did things a little bit differently, mostly at home. I guess we went out a little bit and saw some family. But one thing that we did differently was Allison and I exchanged presents on Christmas Day, which we don't normally do. We normally wait. And I always enjoy that because it's a time that we have a story behind our presents. And one of the things she gave me was she called it a man's glue gun. Because I rob her hot glue gun all the time. And she gave me a Ryobi battery-powered glue gun. Man-style glue gun. And of course we laughed and she shared the story. I gave her... One of my favorite gifts for her was a rechargeable fan that you can just stick around your neck. And whenever she gets mad, she just puts that fan on, and it blows in her face, and everything's better. No, it's for when we go fishing in the summer and she gets really hot. But that's another good idea, you know. She also gave me a foot wedge, because when I sleep and I roll on my side, it messes up my neck. Y'all know I got the problems in my neck, so I can stay flat on my back. Things that she blessed me with, and I tried to bless her with, and I'd hope that you maybe had an opportunity to bless somebody. It may not have been giving a gift. It may have been being nice or serving, doing the dishes. Whatever it is, we bless each other because we have love. We care about people, so we do something for them. It is blessing. Well, this morning is the last Sunday of 2020. And so we're going to turn the page on truth in 2020 this week and next week. But I'll be out next week, so I'm going to introduce our theme for 2021 to you this morning. But before I do that, one last time, I'd like to read through 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 for you. I think you've heard it 52 times, so it ought to be pretty close to your memory banks by now. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Truth in 2020, I hope that you have progressed and valued and treasured what is true and right and good and honorable and worthy of praise and have drawn near to those things. 2021 is coming. I've encouraged and invited each of you to read through the Bible with us as a church next year. We're going to be reading chronologically. I have a reading plan in the back of the behind the jail bars there. You can grab one on your way out if you'd like. We're going to be reading through chronologically. I got the reading plan off of Ligonier. It's a well-known reading plan. If you'd like to buy a chronological Bible, I'll post one on our Facebook page here that is probably pretty close. It may not be exact, but I encourage you, get into the Word. If you've never read through it, let's read through it together, and I will be teaching through the Bible next year as well. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it every week. I haven't decided yet, but I will be preaching and teaching through it as well. So our theme for 2021, as we say truth in 2020, will be coming into an end. There'll be no more truth in 2021, unfortunately. I'm supposed to laugh at that. Okay, thank you. Our theme in 2021 is going to go back to a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is barach. You got to get your throat going, Tyler. Barach. Barach. And it's spelled like one of our former president's names. You don't know it? It's B-A-R-A-K. And that Hebrew word is it's a word that you need to know in 2021. And you might say it Barak. That's how most Americans would say it. But it's Barach. Bow, kind of like bow, wow, wow. Bow, wow, Barach. And it means this. It means to bless. To bless or to kneel, genuflect. And the Hebrew word Barach is to bless. So 2021 is going to be our year to bless someone. So bless someone and 2021. Bless someone in 21. My encouragement is this, that we bless someone in Jesus' name. Not just be nice to people, but in some way, find a way to bless somebody in the name of Jesus. And you might cooperate with someone. You might join with another church member's family. You might find a way to be a blessing, and that's rooted in what we see in Scripture. And so today I'm going to give you an overview of what I see happening in the first pages of the Bible. And as I was reading this week, this stuck out to me. And it begins with the beginning. So if you have your Bible, I would invite you to open up to Genesis 1, verse 1. And I want to share with you some of the gleanings that I have gained in reading the Scripture and what I'm seeing happening and what's going on in Scripture, and point them out to you as you read this week and next week, that you will see and maybe draw attention to some of the things that I've seen as well. Genesis 1:1. So let me set the context for us. Remember, God is, and God was, and as we sang in the hymns this morning, God has always been. And Jesus has always been. And His Spirit has always been. There was not a time when Jesus was not, nor the Spirit of God was not. He is eternal. And Father, Son, and Spirit are eternal. They've always been, and they've always been together. There was never a time where there was the Father, and there wasn't the Son, and there wasn't the Spirit. This is what we as Trinitarian Christians believe. Father, Son, and Spirit are co-eternals. Now, with that said, God was in perfect harmony, and He was perfectly happy, and He was perfectly good with the Son. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were perfectly good with each other. But God did not deem it His will to be alone. He chose to create. And this is the beginning of the Bible. And so we as Christians do not believe that evolution took place, in that there were single cell organisms that evolved into something bigger, into a monkey-like creature, into a man-like creature. That is not the story of Scripture. The Scripture says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And He began to create things. And He created those things in order that He might share Himself and be a blessing unto others. Amen. So let me ask you this. I heard an amen. So let me ask you this morning, Are you blessed by God?
Yes.
Amen. You're blessed by God, and therefore you worship and rejoice in God. He chose to do that. He didn't have to. But God, being a good God, chose to do that and to bless His creation. Now, let's look at it. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here you even see the persons of the Trinity, God and the Spirit hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In His creation, He wanted there to be a revelation. You see, to people who cannot see, there's no need of light. If you're blind, guess what you don't need? A flashlight. You don't need it because you can't see. But God wanted Himself to be seen and made known. And He wanted to bless us by giving us who He is. And so He gave us light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was what? It was good. And so God did not only give stuff, He gave what? Good stuff. Now, many of you who give gifts on Christmas want to give good gifts. You want to give something that's going to bless somebody. That's the heart. That's a reflection of God in you. You want to give something in order to bless someone. 2021, my hope is that we're going to be a reflection of God in 2021. That we're going to bless somebody. Because God blessed us. And God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. The Lord brought blessed light into a dark and formless world. Now, as we reflect on that and think of that, and as I was reading and thinking of that, I immediately thought of another passage of Scripture in which light came into the world. And if you're thinking and tracking with me, you're probably running to the Gospel of John. You're right. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word. So now you have testimony of Father, Spirit, and Son in the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. We already saw the Spirit with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was what? Was life, or Zoe. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now watch this in verse 9. The true light. What's the true light? The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. So, church, what is the true light? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the true light. He gives light to everyone. So what does it mean He's giving light to everyone? To everyone who has light, it comes from Jesus. He gives light to everyone. That means He is able to communicate the truth about who the Father is in the flesh. This is Advent. This is Christmas time. This is why we celebrate, because Jesus is the light who has shown us and revealed to us who God is. Imagine with me, if you will. You're in a dark, dark cave. And if you've ever been in a cave, you probably know better than I. It can be dark, dark in a cave, right? You've told me about that. real dark. And that's what the world is like without Jesus. Stuff might be there, and you just don't know it. Christian, do you know what I'm talking about? When you live a life before Jesus Christ, and you know that there's stuff there spiritually, you know stuff is happening, you know that there's a God and that there's more to this life, and then all of a sudden you understand, wait a second, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's the one, this man that came and died and rose 3 days later. This is somebody that is different than every other human that's ever been born. This is Jesus the Lord. And then everything begins to make sense now because we see it with the light. And the light has come on in that cave and you see, oh, stalactites, stalagmites, water running down. Oh, look at the colors. The wall. The minerals. This is everything comes. And this is the true light which gives light to everyone. Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, not a Christian, and you're with us today, we're glad you're here. We want you to know that we as Christians believe that life is different and transformed when you know Jesus Christ the Lord. And your desire becomes not, how can I make myself most happy? So I'm going to do whatever X, Y, and Z that I think will make myself most happy. But when you become a believer, it's how can I make my Lord most happy? I'm going to surrender myself in His service and become His servant and live ultimately for my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him and I'm going to serve Him. This is the true light. Do you know Jesus Christ the Lord? Back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let waters swarm. Watch this. I don't know if you notice this. Watch this. And God said, let waters, I like the King James word, teem. Teem with living creatures. Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. And let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. And so God filled the earth, or the skies, rather, and the seas. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was what? He blessed the world that He created with creatures. So next time you want to stomp on that creature for no good reason, you know, God blessed this world. And He looked down and He saw that it was good when He created the creatures. Doesn't mean you can't eat them. But it means we see what God has made as a blessing. Watch this. And God, look at verse 22. Yeah, look, read it with me real quick. Just the first couple words. And God what? This is interesting. God blessed what? Them. Who is them? What? Who is them? It's not you and me. It's not humanity. Who did God bless? The creatures. God blessed the creatures. So y'all can all say, God bless them. That's right. God blessed the creatures. In other words, when God created the sea creatures and the sky creatures, it was good, and He made them in a way that He could give His blessing to them and share His goodness with an owl and with a redfish. He blessed them. Because God is a God of blessing. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. He blessed them and wanted them to multiply because lots of seagulls is a blessing. Because God is a God who blesses. Bless someone in 21. It's my challenge for us, church. How can we bless people because God is a God who blesses, who barachs, who gives and shows honor and dignity to? Not only does he bless the creatures, but look down in verse 28 of chapter 1. God created man, and verse 28, should have put verse 27 in there too, but God blessed them, mankind that he created, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it," very similar to the creatures, except for this next part. And what does he specifically give to humanity? Y'all look at it. And have what?
Dominion.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every other living creature that moves on the earth. So what does he do to man when he creates man? He blesses them, but he blesses them in a special way. This is why, Ethan, you are more valuable than a cat. You know that? Yeah, I hope you know that. You're more valuable than a cat because God has given you a special blessing. For whatever reason, because God is who he is, he chose to bless you, John, specially. He said, "I'm going to give you a special blessing as a part of humanity. And you are going to have dominion over all the other things that I blessed. You're going to have authority over them. You're going to rule over them." You say, "What? I'm a ruler?" Well, yeah. That's who God made you. He gave you intellect and reason that he didn't give that cat, Ethan. He gave you a special gift to know his son in a way that a lizard cannot. You have an ability to know God in a deep and in a special way that all of the other creation cannot. Now, you know that throughout the rest of Scripture that the trees are clapping their hands and that the seas roar for God. We see that in the Psalms many times. It's not that creation does not know God. In fact, Romans 8 tells us that all of creation is groaning for his return. Doesn't it? All of creation knows that it's made by God in the sense that God has blessed it and shared himself with everything. But he hasn't done it in a way where a wave can know God, or a tree can know God. He's blessed them in the sense that he shared his goodness upon those things, and he has done it in a special way with humanity that we might be able to comprehend it. I remember years and years ago when Brother Brad was here, I remember one of the illustrations he gave in his sermon that I thought was very helpful. He said, "We as human beings can look out at a sunset." And I see some of y'all post them on Facebook. And he said, "Oh, look at this beautiful sunset." We can see it and go, "That is gorgeous. Pink and purple and orange. And I mean, just the colors you see." And we say around our family, what? "God has painted the sky." We can recognize the beauty and the glory in that. But you take old Fido out with you. You take Fido out. And you sit Fido down, sit Fido, and you say, "Fido, behold the majesty of God painting the sunset." And Fido is going to look up at you and lick his lips and want a treat or want you to throw the ball. He couldn't care less about that sunset because he doesn't have the capacity to comprehend God for who God is. Human beings, in the sound of my voice and in homes and wherever you are, you can know God and he has given his son. And he has allowed his son to be slain and crucified on a cross so that we might know him and enjoy him for all eternity. But human beings, we can also ignore God and reject him. And unfortunately, that's what happens by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3. An inversion takes place. God had made all of this stuff. It was good. It was a blessing. The seas were roaring. The trees were waving their hands in praise. And Adam and Eve and their family was praising God and walking with God and enjoying him and all of his creation. But the serpent comes and lies and deceives man. The serpent comes and now the Lord begins something he hasn't done yet. And I read it earlier. For those who ignore the command of God, God said, "Don't eat of this tree." Man ate of the tree. They ignored God's commands. And rather than blessing and feeling the continual blessing of God, there came curses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, and God said to the serpent, remember, God cursed the serpent too. Hell is not the devil's hell, it is God's hell. And the devil will burn for all eternity there as well. God curses the serpent. Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock. The first time God curses, he curses the serpent. And rather than blessing, he's not merely a God of blessing. He is a God of blessing and of curses. And the first curse has come down upon this serpent. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. To your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or a division between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Ultimately, that is Jesus. We know the scriptures alluding to here. And Jesus will bruise your head when he crushes you, serpent. You will be judged. Cursed are you, and you will be under the foot of Jesus Christ our Lord. But, and you will bruise his heel. And he is a wounded Savior, a crucified Savior. Praise the Lord. And now the curses continue. To the woman, he says, I will surely multiply your pain in bearing children. In pain, you shall bring forth your children. Your desire will be contrary to your husband, but he will rule over you. The Lord curses her unique gift to humanity, to bear children, and he puts a rule over her. To Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. What's cursed? Ground. So not only is the serpent, not only is Eve, not only will Adam be, but also the ground will be cursed. And now creation is inheriting a curse. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. In other words, you're going to die. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust now you will return. The God of blessing has revealed that he's also a God of curse. And this is reality for us. Reality for us today. Those who are in Christ receive every blessing that Jesus Christ inherits are those in Christ, are ours in Christ. But for those who reject or ignore the command of God to repent and believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, will receive the curse of God upon them. Eternal blessings for those in Christ, eternal curses for those who are not. The Lord does not leave Adam and Eve hopeless, though. He does not leave them helpless. In fact, he covers their nakedness and he covers their sin. God has not left us hopeless or helpless, Hannah. He has covered our nakedness and he has covered our sin. And he's done it in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. He has covered our sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. He's covered our sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give you a few notes. I can't work through all of this. Genesis chapter 4. God blesses once again. Let me remind and share with you, Christian, hear me. God blesses sinners. Even sinners, God can bless. He takes Adam and Eve, who have ignored God's command, but they have repented, and they are still seeking after God and pursuing God. They've repented of their sin. They have turned from it and turned back unto God. In a different way, they know him now. But God reaches out and blesses sinners who are saints, and he gives them a family, and he gives them children. And Eve is excited about this. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 1, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. I've had a child because God gave him to me. And again, she bore another brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. Now, catch this. We've talked about God a lot, thankfully. But here we have now the first time in which man is coming to bless God. So God is a God who blesses. But now the response of people who have been blessed by God is what? God, we want to bless you back. You deserve some blessing too. And so Cain and Abel come and they bring a blessing unto God. This is what godly people do. They're filled with joy of God's blessing and then they return that. And there are so many ways that the people of God, sinners saved by grace, can bless others. And we ought to be. And we've talked about this in 1 John, as we've studied, that an idol church is not really a church. It's just a social club. There must be loving in deed and in truth, we looked at last week. We want to bring God a blessing of our own. And the Lord responds to the blessings that we bring him. The Lord had regard, it says, for Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering, he had no regard. We don't know exactly why, but it probably alludes back to Abel brought his best and Cain didn't. based on the context. Regardless, Cain was angry and his face fell. And watch this. The blessers of God, those who want to bless God, watch what happens to Cain. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Will I not have regard for you if you do what is good? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you. You must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up and did what? And killed his brother Abel. God created Cain to be a blessing. He blessed him and made him to be a blessing, and he takes what God has given him, the intellect, in order to do what God has made him to do, and he took it and he turned it upon his brother and killed him. God has given humanity the ability to bless and the ability to curse. Abel blessed God. Cain cursed Abel. So I close here with you. I close here with, where are we? Christians, we come before, and I know that many of you have a deep, deep love for God. A desire to worship and praise the Lord our God. Many of you have devotion far beyond what I have. So I want to call and encourage you to be a blessing. And to consider ways that you can take the ways that God has blessed you and bless others. And I'm not saying necessarily look around and see what somebody else is doing and do it. I'm saying, how has God equipped you? And invert what Cain did. Cain took the intelligence God gave him and he used it to curse. And I'm saying, take the intelligence that God is giving you and bless. God has uniquely wired all of us. And there are things that you can do that I cannot do. And there are things I can do that you cannot do. Use the way God has wired you and consider, what can I do in 2021 to be a blessing in Jesus' name? And I'm asking you, pray about that. Think about it. Wax long upon. What can you do to be a blessing? Because God has equipped you so specifically. Let me read one more scripture to you and we'll close. Way forward in chapter 12, which we're not going to get to for a month. Chronologically reading. Watch this. Genesis 12, verse 2. God, he doesn't stop blessing throughout the story, the narrative of Scripture. We get to chapter 12, and here's Abram. "And I will make of you a great nation." I'm going to bless you, Abram. "I will bless you and make your name great." Because you're going to be representing my name, Abram. "So that you will be a blessing." In other words, I'm going to send blessing through you, Abram, so that you will be a blessing to others. Application. God has blessed us. He wants us to be a blessing to others. But, watch this. Verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse." Again, God is a God of blessing. God is a God of curse. "And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So I ask a question. How in the world are all the families of the earth blessed through this one man? I mean, Did Abram have a fast car? He got around to everybody? And there's an answer. And it doesn't have to do with a car. It has to do with a Savior. Because ultimately, God has blessed us all through Abram's lineage in Jesus Christ our Lord. So take the blessing, my encouragement for you, take the blessing that God is giving you, and in Jesus' name, bless someone. Because God is a God of blessing. And He's also a God of curse. And as we bring Jesus to others, as we bring the gospel to others, as we bring the message that Jesus saves to others, that message will be the greatest blessing that they could ever receive, or it will be the curse of God upon them. And my hope is that as we seek ways to do this and the ways God's blessed us, we can, through all the families of the world, all around the world, there will be a blessing in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for blessing us greatly. We ask you to make us a blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.